And it sounds good on your end. There's no peaking.
Wonderful.
So, okay. Grocery workers here in Omaha and all over the world are being deemed essential workers. But what does that mean for a workforce that generally doesn't make a living wage? How much risk do these workers take on? And how did we get here? Here's labor journalist Sarah Jaffe.
This has long been a job where women were concentrated, right? It was one of the sort of few jobs that women could work in. There are really interesting stories if you look back at like the history of like the Woolworths sit-down strike during the Great Depression, where young women occupied their retail store demanding better wages as part of the strike wave that was going on that we've heard a lot more about in places like, Ford and GM factories at the founding of the United Auto Workers. So this has long been a place where the workforce is sort of not taken seriously, not considered real workers, not considered essential, which is why it's fascinating right now that we're in this moment where they're now being deemed essential workers by state governments, by federal government. Again, this transition from this kind of work that was always had sort of not taken seriously to like, oh my God, not only is it essential work, but now like we're first responders. The people who are first responders are the people who are doing the miscellaneous things that they've always done that have sustained human life.
It's interesting to go from sometimes being judged for saying that your job is as a part-time cashier to being thanked, you know?
This is Vivian, an intern here at KIOS, a student, and a part-time cashier at a grocery store here in Omaha. She explains how it feels to be deemed an essential worker at her current job.
It really is, just like everyone's been saying, a lot of people can undermine these service industry jobs. They're like these day-to-day things like a grocery store worker or restaurant worker, but we're really essential to society and our structure. Like, you're going to need your food and you still go to these businesses and patronize them.
So what's the mood like in your store, and how are you and your coworkers handling all of this?
There are some people who are still kind of lighthearted, or, you know, you try to go in and you try to save face and stay positive, you know, because if you all look at each other and we're all panicked, then it's going to be a very long shift. It's just this general anxiety that I get. Like, I leave half an hour early for work every day just so I have travel time to get there on time. And I always, like, notice I start to sweat more, my hands start shaking. I just have to really, like, just focus on what I'm doing and try to do some like breathing exercises before I even enter the store.
States like Michigan, Vermont, and more are extending emergency worker status to grocery workers. Sarah Jaffe explains why this is happening and why unions in other states are asking for this status or for first responder status.
In deeming people first responders, we're taking a step into that space and saying, like, this is really, really important, essential, life-sustaining work. But also importantly, that means that they get extra protection. Things like protective equipment. Like, if you are working at a grocery checkout counter in the middle of a crisis where everybody's buying probably more groceries than usual because they're staying home all the time, then you are coming into contact with a lot of people every day. And if you are not, you know, if you're a minimum wage worker and your boss has basically treated you like you're disposable and easily replaceable, normally they're not providing you with things like a mask, a change of gloves every so often, things that, you know, in a hospital you would have if you're dealing with people who are potentially exposed to the virus. So in deeming people first responders, you're actually saying, like, these people are as worthy of anyone else who is responding to a crisis and keeping us alive in a crisis. And that means that they are worthy of protective equipment and things like paid time off, paid sick leave, which, you know, tons of workers around this country still don't have.
Vivian explains that at her work, they do now get paid time off, but only if they test positive for COVID-19.
You are allotted 2 weeks paid time off. And after that, you are not covered for, you won't get any payment for that time. It's a very frightening thing, and especially in the beginning, the recommendation was if you have a coworker who gets sick, please consider donating your paid time off to them.
So they want you to give your paid time off to your coworkers? Is that enough?
In my opinion, it kind of feels like putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound.
I asked Sarah Jaffe what, if anything, makes her hopeful right now.
People in a time of emergency, we come together and we want to take care of each other and we want to do the right thing and we want to make sure that other people are taken care of. And so I think that that is a huge lesson that can come out of this moment.
To hear this story again and for more information, visit KIOS.org. For KIOS Omaha Public Radio, I'm Joshua LeBure.